Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I've been meaning to get this guy on the podcast for a while, and it seems like the perfect time because he's, you know, just off the Challenge 40, and I'm really happy to introduce Big Brother 18 vet alum and Challenge vet, Pauly Califfiori. Pauly, how are you? Thank you for being here.
I'm good. I know your base is mostly Big Brother, so they may kill you for this.
Oh, come on. No. How many years has it been since that season, by the way? It's got to be...
8 years.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a while.
It's been fun. I mean, listen, the jury clips of me and Devon still resurface every Big Brother year. You know, Devon and I did 2 seasons of the Challenge together. We worked together in epic fashion. You know, but it's always good to see those clips still having the legs to them, you know?
Yeah, we'll get into a little bit, but I mean, at the end of the day, I sort of am like, if 2 people made up in real life after the show that they were on, it's not really up to us to be judging anymore. It's kind of like your thing, right?
Oh, I think they just post it for entertainment value at this point. I mean, I will get a lot of Big Brother fans that are just like, I still remember you and Devon. And I'm just like, well, clearly not well enough because you didn't watch us on our other endeavors together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to talk about those endeavors. The Challenge 40, obviously, big premiere. It was really fun, but I'm curious, what brought you back? I know you did the Challenge USA season 2, but you and Cara was sort of taking a break from like the flagship for a while. What brought you back for 40?
I mean, you know, how are you going to say no to a staple season of the Challenge? I mean, season 40, to be a part of something like that, like you, or even be considered and be invited, that means you're a staple of your era. And I was honored, that I was considered a staple of my era. So I was like, yeah, why not? And odds are it's probably going to be crazy. And I usually like the crazier seasons more so than the Carnival Game seasons. And, you know, I was really looking forward to the opportunity of, showcasing my stuff amongst all of the great names. You know, I think there's only a few missing.
Yeah. When you saw the people in your era, were you happy? Were you worried? Were you like, what were your thoughts?
I mean, I was a little worried from the sense that I, you know, other than Nuris and Horacio, I really had nobody that I played with. I didn't really have any friends, you know, so it being a team season, I was kind of like, all right, well, as long as my team wins, I'll be all right. And then if we lose, I could maybe use the aspect that I've played the game before and that I'm a strong competitor for them to keep me around. But yeah, definitely more enemies on the team than friends.
Yeah. I know you, so you and Johnny have been okay. So did you go into that season being like, okay, like he probably won't target me right away. Like what were your thoughts about you guys and Bananas going into the season?
Like my team and Bananas?
Or like, yeah, in terms of like, did you think Bananas was going to be an ally or not? You weren't sure, I guess.
I think Bananas is always going to strategically play to get the advantage for his game and his team game. You know, regardless of whether you're on good terms with Bananas, I think anybody that gets shocked by a decision that he makes, you know, it's Bananas, right? So even if I was coming into the season with Bananas as an ally, which I was, realistically, I know that he's smart enough that there's going to be a point in time in the game where if my team was strong and his team was strong, he's going to sit there and be like, well, if I want my team to win, that team needs to get weakened. And vice versa, if it, you know, goes down to individuals, you know, he's also going to look at it and be like, well, I want to win the final. I'm sure some of my allies want to win the final. Who do I have the best shot of winning a final against? You know, so it's one of those things where it's almost like a ticking time bomb, You know, it's like, when is it going to go off? Is it going to go off at the midway point? Are shots going to be taken early? Are shots going to be taken right before the final? But shots will be taken at some point, and you just have to kind of either get them before it happens, or, you know, if you have no reason to go after him, just wait for him to take the shot and just be like, well, I was expecting this, so now's the time.
Yeah, it's like, you never know. And I didn't know which way they were going to go. But in terms of Laurel, like, between all the ups and downs with her and Cara, I still was, I guess, surprised that she threw her in. But like, what is your relationship with Laurel? And did you kind of expect that?
I don't really have a relationship with Laurel. I mean, I tried to have a relationship with Laurel on War of the Worlds 2, just because she was a strong competitor. I've never played with her before. I was excited to play with her. And I was more along the lines of, you know, whenever she would try to speak, she would get shut down on our team. You know, like a lot of the more domineering personalities. You know, there was a lot of voices on Team USA that season, a lot of strong male competitors, you know, a lot of strong female competitors, but the males tend to be like, this is what we should do on the daily to win, because they have a lot of the experience with that. And, you know, every time Laurel would want to pipe up, she would get shot down, you know, shot down almost in a rude way. And, you know, I was one of the lone people being like, no, you guys shut the fuck up, let her talk. You know, and I was always hyping her up before challenges, and I was always hyping her up after, you know, somebody would shut her down, just be like, hey, listen, you know, block that out, athlete mentality, like, let's lock in, let's get through this win, you know, and being nice to her. You know, so that was my relationship with Laurel then. Obviously, we ended up on different sides of the alliances, and she went home. And I, you know, like, I'd like to think I'm good at like reading people. And, you know, there's just, when you look into Laurel's eyes, there's just nothing behind them. And my thing is, that to me is somebody who has no feelings or emotions, only switches on the feelings and emotions in order to, you know, sway something. You know, I think if Laurel was just in her natural habitat, she's a robot all the time. Wow. That's just how I personally feel. And then coming into this season, just, you know, as much as Cara wanted to think that maybe the rivalry would have been done after she beat her on All-Stars 4, in my mind, and you know, I know better, I'm like, no, it's not over. It's never going to be over. You know, she is never going to like you. And she's never going to, you know, not throw you in at every chance she could. And, you know, that's just my thing with Laurel, is Laurel is just that person. She'll hit below the belt. And like, listen, I'm not knocking people who hit below the belt. I sure as hell used to do it all the time. However, I'd like to think that after X amount of years, like, my smack talk sticks to the game. My smack talk sticks to what's going on in the game. I don't take below the belt shots anymore. And outside of the game, I'm also not going to take below the belt shots, because I've just evolved from that. And you can still provide a lot of messy drama without taking the below the belt shots. And I think that she still will take the below the belt shots. As we saw in episode 3, you know, she was upset that she was a target. She takes a below the belt shot at Darrell, and it's like, there's no room for that. That's kind of, you know, it's in poor form. I'll just put it
that way. Is it, and I don't know Laurel personally, so I'm not, but like with the Cara thing, is it just like one of them wants to be the best female competitor? Is that there a jealousy there with Laurel, or?
I don't think it's that. There's a big difference between who wants to be the best competitor, and then there is somebody who truly views themselves as above somebody else, not from a competitive standpoint, but just from like a life standpoint, who always wants somebody to be beneath them. You know, to me, the rhetoric and the way I see the relationship is like a toxic relationship, almost like an emotionally abusive relationship, in that sense, where, you know, I've seen the whole being nice, being sweet, reeling her in, and then beating her down, and then beating her down, and then beating her down, and then nice, sweet, reeling her in, and then beating her down again, and beating her down again. And, you know, there is some sort of psychological warfare that goes into these games. But the psychological warfare is more like smack talk of like, you're going to lose. I'm going to beat you. You suck. You're always going to suck. I'm always going to be better than you. Like things of that nature, not this
personal
thing. I don't know where it stems from. You know, so many things have happened between Carl and Laurel, but like how many years have gone by? So you really can't use any of the past things to still do it. And like, you know, for somebody who just got done screaming at Carl's face, like, we don't even talk. You don't even know me. It's like, all right, well, if you guys fucking don't know each other, what's the fucking holdup here? One second, you guys don't know each other, so Kara can't speak on anything that's going on with you. But when you want to speak on things that's going on with her, all of a sudden you know her. And everything in the rhetoric afterwards is like, Kara and I just have like this relationship that only we'll understand. It's like, sweetheart, y'all have never dated. Y'all have never talked. Y'all have never done any of this. Why are you talking like it's some kind of like kindred spirits connected by the soul that will never be without each other? It's like, honey, you got to wake the fuck up. This isn't a romance novel.
Got it. So she like wants it both ways, depending on what's convenient at the time. Seemingly. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird. To me, it's weird. To me, it's like they're at a point in their careers where they could have a Johnny and Wes moment.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now, I'm not saying Johnny and Wes are best friends, hang out all the time, call each other all the time. But in the game, they're like, hey, man, we're cool. We could get further working together. On that side of things, it's like, it's never going to happen. Yeah.
Well, talk to me about you and Theo. Like when you saw him and you're like, were you like, this is definitely going to bubble up again? Was there tension there? Or were you hoping that, okay, maybe we can not target each other right away?
You know, there was definitely tension there. However, once we saw it was a team format, we were aligned in the fact of like, we're both pretty strong players. Mm-hmm. We've both proven that we can play games with these vets, make it to the end, outcompete them, you know, and then make finals. We both haven't won. You know, so we were having conversations along the lines of like, there is going to come a time where this is going to go individual. Let's settle it then, like men, you know, and until then, let's just do what's best for the team. Enemies can work well together on teams. Sometimes enemies can almost elevate teams. You know, where that went awry was, you know, obviously we both didn't want to get last place in that daily. Unfortunately, he got last place, which, you know, sucks when you have one of your strongest competitors as the last place automatically going in. Where it went awry for me was you have two clear-cut options on the table with Josh and myself and Kyland. So three options, but two outside of me. With Josh and Kyland, both have never made finals. Both, you know, haven't proven whether they're good at teams or good at dailies. You know, so when it got back to me that he was going around the house being like, I want Paulie, it's time to settle our beef now, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, so that immediately, you know, flipped the switch on in my head to be like, fuck this guy. I, you know, everything we talked about, you know, he's doing the same thing he did on War of the Worlds 2, coming in being like, yeah. And then you're working with the other side. And you know, it was so easy for, I think Josh, it was to like put the idea in his head and be like, look at the numbers. It's like, there were no fucking numbers on our team at that point. But this just goes to show how stupid Theo is as a fucking strategist. You know what I mean? There were no numbers on our team. The only people that might have been thinking about numbers would have been Josh and Casey because they're from Big Brother.
Mm.
The way Theo and I were looking at the team was like an actual team of like, weakest one got to go. You know what I mean? So when he's sitting there asking for me and I'm like, hey, dumbass, me and you are 1 and 2 and 3, you know, if you want to put Horacio in there, top three competitors on the team, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it went the way it went in the deliberation, because I threw out all diplomatic things that I had wanted to say.
Well, and you mentioned Josh, and I know you and Josh have sort of repaired your relationship, at least to an extent. Were you not thrilled with him then? For
watching it back, I was blown away, because once again, all he was doing was talking to me, being like, brother, I'm not campaigning for you. Like, you're my brother. I love you. I'm not campaigning for you. And I was just kind of like, I was like, I'm campaigning for the weakest guy on the team. So whoever you think that is, look in the mirror. Could be you, could be Kylan at this point. But like, that's kind of where it was at. So it's like, I can't be too upset for somebody covering their own ass and looking for their own ass. And it's like, you look at Kylan and you look at Josh, they look at Theo, they're in their brains being like, if I can avoid this elimination at all costs, I'm going to do it because Theo's a monster. And, there's me who's just like, I don't really give a fuck how much of a monster he is. I'm also a monster. And because it is the challenge, I like my odds as to what it possibly could be as an elimination. I'm like, I think I can beat Theo out of 9 out of 10 eliminations. So I'm going to take my chances, and hopefully it's something that fits me.
That's what I was going to say. Of course you got Hall Brawl. Yeah. Of course.
Of all the eliminations that it could have been, Hall Brawl is it. And I'm like, and there's the 1 out of 10. There it is. There it is right there. But, I'm not going to sit there and, beat myself before the competition even starts, because that's not really where my mindset comes. And, I'm a probability guy. So like, as I'm looking at the Hall Brawl, I'm like, there's a 95% probability that this goes bad, but I'll take that 5% probability of maybe he stands up too tall. Maybe he trips over his feet. Maybe, the impact happens at a certain way where I'm able to keep my footing and we could turn it into a wrestling match. Or, maybe he's not as fast as he once was because he's heavy as shit this time around. So I'm going to go off of the confidence of the 5%, because, you also factor in, if you go into something afraid or scared, you're putting yourself at a high risk of injury. And even though I did get concussed and that sucks, I'll take a concussion over like a broken nose or a broken orbital bone or potential, neck injury or knee injury or shin or ankle, or anything that could have went wrong with a massive human throwing themselves at you. So that's the, I have no regrets of everything that I said leading up into that. And I will still talk that shit to this day, every single day, to Theo's face. Until we see each other again.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. I love Hall Brawl. It's such a classic, but I'm still shocked they do it, because it's so likely that you're going to get injured, right? Like, the likelihood's got to be super high.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I can't remember a time that men did a full Hall Brawl. Because I'm not going to count the one on USA 2 with the pads. I can't remember a time that men did a full Hall Brawl where there wasn't an injury. And I'm also not going to count the one on Ride or Dies where they had like the pole that they had to run into.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you look back at it, the last 2 times there were Hall Brawls on a season, Fessy was in them. And he absolutely obliterated the two people that he went against and broke limbs on them. You know, now fast forward to this one, you know, two concussions. You know, and that's fine. You know, I think Derek Kay and I, we were like kind of bouncing off of each other as to what changes could be made to the hall brawl. And we came up with like, you know, what if players started on the ground, like an Oklahoma drill in football, where instead of starting hands on the wall, where you got two fast guys, Theo and I are probably two of the fastest guys in the house. So our collision happened within a split second. But if we both started laying down face up with our feet touching the wall, and then it's like, you got to get up and then run it, you know, you're not able to kind of get that track start where like both of us were like leaning in, and it's almost like as soon as your hands get let off the wall, it's like a gunshot. Yep. We also talked about making the halls just a little bit wider, so that way you could kind of 100% get your, maybe not go around, but 100% at least get your head out of harm's way for a neck injury. You know, so I mean, those are the only things we came up with. So, you know, maybe there's people listening. I don't think that they should take away the authenticity of a hall brawl. I just think that they should, you know, make it less neck injury-esque.
Fair. Yeah, because I don't want something bad to happen. Well, after obviously that happened, you're already like, shit, I just got eliminated. Then you get to watch Kara go into elimination. Talk to me about just watching that and sort of, because you had already gone at that point, right? Like, I don't know what the editing showed. Okay.
Everybody took their shots early and, you know, and that was it. I mean, I kind of did it to myself. But in my defense, the conversations that I had with Michelle and Horacio beforehand were all leaning towards, you know, that Horacio wasn't going to try and strong arm Michelle on my behalf because Nerisse wanted Olivia.
Yep.
And Michelle was being pulled in by the Vacation Alliance and, you know, using the cop out of, you know, Theo's asking for you. And I'm like, okay, so are you going to be an idiot or are you going to play the game for down the line? And
that Vacation Alliance, man, always coming into play,
always coming into play, always coming into play. And nobody picks up on it. I mean, everybody knows about it, but nobody's, you know, calls them out or says anything. They're very likable people in terms of like, they come in hands up partying. Hey, let's make everybody feel good. Bring down the defense mechanisms and then boom, strike, strike, strike. And next thing you know, they're making more finals. But yeah, it's always tough to be in that situation. Obviously we've never been in that situation. Kara had to watch me go into elimination on War of the Worlds 1. You know, so it's definitely nerve wracking. You're hoping that your person comes back, but in this case, I was already gone.
Yeah.
So I was just like, don't let them take a 1-2 shot here and win. You know, because all her and I were talking about before that was like, we're coming back in. We're flipping the fucking house on its head. We are screaming in everybody's faces and calling out every single person and their mother and their brother and their cousins, you know, for what happened, right? Because this is a team effort at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's not one person in the house that tried to influence, maybe let's not throw Paulie and Kara in first elimination. And, you know, but this was, I'm pretty sure this was majority Laurel's decision because we saw her running around the house, just like War of the Worlds 2, trying to intimidate every single person that was in power, having conversations with many people as possible. And she's very lucky that I didn't come back because with what I had lined up, even in the short time, me being there of the people that I pulled in, it was about to be a bloodbath worse than War of the Worlds 2. Only on War of the Worlds 2, I was a little bit more humble in the sense that I didn't rub it in their faces every step of the way that I had the numbers and they were going to go in every time. But this time around, the bloodbath was going to happen and I was going to make sure that they knew how badly they fucked up every single day. Every single day until they got tagged.
And that's why you guys are great TV as well. I do want to ask though, like going back, Cody's on Big Brother. Did you ever think, hey, I would want to do reality TV before he was on Big Brother? Was that even like in your sort of world?
You know, as funny as it is, I got asked to do the first season of Are You the One?
Oh.
Yeah, I was living in New York. I was working in New York. I think I was dating like one of the top editors from like 17 magazine, which is how I got my brother in 17 magazine before going on Big Brother.
I might know her. I've used to work there.
Yeah. I mean, this was like way back in the day. I feel this had to have been like 2014.
10 years. Yeah.
Or sorry, 2013, because Cody did Big Brother in 2014. So, you know, I went to her and I was like, hey, I don't know what this show is. I said, but, you know, I was like, I could just do it and do whatever. And she's like, nah, you're not going to do it. She was Australian. And I was like, all right. I was like, I guess I'm not doing it. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess there goes reality TV. And then as it would happen, me and Cody were working for an entertainment company doing like Bar and Bat Mitzvahs. We got seen doing a party in New York City. Somebody who was local there saw us and was like, you guys ever heard of Big Brother? And we were like, yo, we love that show. And then, you know, Cody goes through the casting process because I was like, this guy's really good looking. He should be on TV. and then that's how that happened. I never expected for me to get my shot on TV, because I was helping put on like the casting calls in New York, New Jersey, and Philly. I would help organize them and everything like that. And then I remember we went through all of the casting calls for Big Brother 18. And I was like, all right, Robin, everything's good. And she's like, yep, we got some really great candidates. And I was like, awesome. And then 2 months later, she called me and she was like, do you want to go? And I was like, sure. Let's do it. And then, you know, everything's kind of been a whirlwind from there. I guess like the merger with CBS and Viacom started happening then. You know, I was originally supposed to be on Vendettas. I hurt my ankle. They put me on X on the Beach, you know.
Oh, I forgot you were on X on the Beach.
I know.
Totally forgot that.
I've been around.
Wow. Yes. Well, when you were watching Cody on Big Brother 16, did that deter you at all? Like, what was it like watching as a family member?
I mean, I was having a blast. Like, I loved it. Big Brother 16, I feel like the toxicity on Twitter was not there.
Not yet.
Right? And I think, it was not. And I think because Frankie was there, there was a lot of like young, you know, teeny bopper girls watching the show then. And they were all just like enamored with the show. So like they weren't sitting there like cursing everybody out on Twitter. Like they were sitting there just being like, oh my God, Cody, you're so beautiful. We love Frankie. Can we meet your sister? You know, like Big Brother 16, one of the seasons that definitely put it on the map on a larger scale, you know, in that capacity. And that was the first time you ever really saw cast members come out with these massive followings. And watching it, I was having a blast because I was sitting there being like, yeah, Cody's killing it. He's having an amazing time. And then, you know, fast forward 2 years, and I guess that's when Twitter became extremely toxic in the Big Brother world. And, you know, I thought I was just in there playing some cutthroat Big Brother. And, you know, I freaking came out and was like, oh, damn, these Big Brother fans are pretty savage. I probably shouldn't have been telling the live feeds that Reddit and Vevmo people are losers, but oh well.
Oh God. Did Cody give you any advice before you went in?
The only advice that Cody and my family gave me is they said, do not turn on the ultra competitive guy. Cause they're you're a nice guy, like charming, charismatic. But the second that guy comes out, he's a absolute psychopath. Cause like they've seen me in sports with wrestling, with fighting, with soccer. Like when that guy comes out, he's just an absolute dog. And you know, does not care who he's talking to, what he's saying. Everything is just at that point, kill, kill, kill. From like a mentality standpoint, from a competing standpoint and everything. You know, so needless to say, that guy came out. And the rest is history.
I know you watched BB22 because Cody was back, but have you kept up with the show since your season? Are you like in and out or not really?
I'm in and out. Since my season, I've been in and out like for 19. I was in and out, you know, for 20, I was in and out, 21 in and out, 22. I obviously watched the full thing. 23, I was in and out. I watched
24 was Taylor. Yeah.
I watched Taylor's season a good amount. Couldn't even tell you who was on Big Brother 25. If I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Ceree was there with her son, but I don't really remember anything too memorable from it. Like
it wasn't that good of a season. So don't worry.
Yeah, other than like Ceree just doing like what Ceree does, which is just, you know,
yep,
like being masterful at her craft. We'll just call it that. That's it. I mean, this season, watching and paying attention to a little bit more because I just saw the GIFs going off of like Angela like mocking somebody's walk.
Yep.
And like people like making that go viral of like me strolling into work like 5 minutes late. And I was like, all right, I think we've got a character here. And then, you know, Tucker emerges and I'm like, we definitely got a character here. So I like to watch for the characters, you know, like that's what's fun for me. Like I could sit here and break down gameplay and all that stuff, but you know, that's boring. And I feel like when, you know, even though I can argue that for 50% of the game, I was pretty masterful. I was not masterful for anything past 50% of the game.
Well, speaking of Tucker, like I know Cody knows him to some extent. Have you met him in the past?
No, I've never met Tucker. I don't know Tucker. I've just been watching him because he's been giving me like major Zach Rantz vibes.
Totally Zach Rantz. 100%.
Yeah. He's like a Zach Rantz, but better at competitions.
At first I was like, I think he's Zach Rantz meets Enzo a little bit, but I don't know.
He is, but like Angela's meltdowns have been like, give me life.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, so have you gone back and watched your season ever? Or are you kind of?
I've never watched my season.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. And honestly, I don't blame you because I would not want to watch myself at all.
Yeah, I've never watched my seasons. I mean, I could still pretty much remember, which is what makes Big Brother a very unique experience. It is what most people don't realize. It is 99% traumatic all the time because, you know, imagine your house with no windows, you know,
limited access to the outside world, like can't even go outside.
Yeah, you're not able to get vitamin D every day. I didn't know that I had like, you know, like claustrophobia or anxiety or anything because I had never been claustrophobic or anxious. And I remember post Big Brother, it took me about a year to get over even, you know, like every time I would go on a plane, I would get claustrophobic and anxious. And I realized that it was, you know, hearing the door shut was like a trigger from hearing the backyard door shut and lock.
Wow.
You know, so like these are real things. These are real problems. Like being able to trust people, you know, is pretty hard, especially when you just get off and you enter into the outside world and, you know, you could be meeting people for the first time. And, you know, they meet you and then all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing something on Twitter and you're just like, oh, this fucking piece of shit was just really nice to my face. And they're just like on Twitter being like, oh, I just met this person. I told him to fuck off. And it's like, no, you didn't, you asshole. Like, what are you doing here? Like there, it's things like that. It's, you know, lack of privacy, you know, especially if you come out of the house in like a showmance. You know, I remember even when we had separated, it was like, you know, I couldn't even go out to eat without people taking pictures and stuff. Like I would go out to eat with friends and family members who were female. And all of a sudden those pictures would end up on Twitter and people would be fucking dogging the shit out of me and family and like And I'm like, dude, like, relax. There's the people who watch Big Brother for the pure entertainment and the pure joy and the pure gamesmen and all that stuff. And, you know, then there's the other people. They're like couch quarterbacks. What are they thinking doing this? It's like, I don't know. What the fuck? Like, you think we see every conversation that you see on the live feeds, you moron? Like, yeah. No, that's why it's Big Brother. There's a conversation happening in room 4. As I'm having a conversation in room 1, I don't hear that conversation like you do. So if I'm talking to this person being like, yeah, I really like that person in room 4, I have no idea that they're saying, yeah, we're about to get him out. But you do, and you're like, you fucking idiot. How could you trust this person? It's like, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Also, like, I just feel like they can never be happy. So even like, I'm like, oh, Tucker is such an entertainment. Like, it sucks he's leaving. And it's like, well, he was making the season boring. I'm like, regardless, they can never be happy.
He was not making the season boring.
Right. That's insane.
That is insane to say. That is absolutely crazy to say. Good luck with the entertainment for the rest of the season, everybody. Yeah. Because he's gone. You know, it's kind of like when a certain character was evicted and they had to start focusing more on the jury house, more so than the real house.
Yep.
You know, like, I think on my season, they focused more on the jury house than they have on any other season because all the entertaining people were in there.
Actually, yeah, that has to be true. I feel like we haven't seen any of the jury house the last few years. So
exactly.
I just want to ask one question about this, and I'm sure you've talked about this before in interviews, but when you think about those times with Davon, and you guys have made up obviously since then, do you have regrets, or you look back like, that was a different person? I'm not even that person anymore. I've grown from that. Like, what's the sentiment when you do think about those things?
My sentiment is that me and Davon are two people cut from the same cloth, right? We come from a family and a community where the person who loses their cool first loses. So you're going to poke, you're going to poke, and you're going to poke, and you're going to trade blows with each other. And, you know, her and I have talked about it, and we laughed, and she was like, yeah, you got me. You got me to crack. You know what I mean? She's like, I was throwing things at you to get you to have a reaction. You were throwing things at me to get me to have a reaction. I had a reaction. Everything is a learning experience. Obviously, I'm a much different person than I was, but when it comes to smack talk and shit talk, right? Like, what do you want me to regret? Like, if somebody's insulting me, I'm not allowed to insult them back, you know? And once again, like, if somebody was insulting her, you would expect her to insult them back. You know what I mean? And my thing is, that was a blow up between the two of us. Her and I, as adults, have spoken about it, have squashed it, have worked together on 2 seasons, like, phenomenally. We crushed it on Final Reckoning, with our strategy, with the Redemption House strategy. And then we crushed it on War of the Worlds 1. So, you know, I don't really look back on anything with regrets. And my thought process with everything is, you're never going to make everybody like you.
And it's hard to think. Yeah, about that. That's true.
If you don't pay my bills, if you don't wipe my ass, I don't really care about what you have to say about me. Right. I pay my own bills. I think I did an interview right after Big Brother, and I was like, hey, for everybody who supports me and loves me, really appreciate it. Hope you love me. For those of you who don't, well, fuck you. I still have that same sentiment to this day. And that's really all that was between Davon and I. Like, everybody tries to make it something more than it was, where it was just a trading of insults between two people. And anybody who has a family and a large family who talks smack and does all that stuff, you can understand exactly what that was. That is your aunt and your uncle going back and forth at each other. And then all of a sudden your aunt gets up and throws a drink in his face and is like, fuck you, you're an asshole. Or, you know, that's your two uncles trading blows to each other. And the other one's like, yeah, well, that's why you fucking never made it as a D1 athlete. And then all of a sudden there's a fist fight that breaks the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, these are just things that happen. If you have individuals that have strong opinions. So my thing is, Devon has a strong opinionated personality. I have a strong opinionated personality. Yeah. What should I have a regret for? Because, you know, we got into an argument. You know what I mean?
There you go, people.
There you go. You're welcome, welcome for the good TV. Okay? That's what you should really be saying is, Paulie, thank you for the freaking good TV. Devon, thank you for the good TV. We miss you guys.
I mean, that was they were cutting to the jury house a lot, so it must have been boring in the house. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, so anyone else from the cast that you've caught up with or run into over the years? Anyone you're still friendly with?
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Other than, Devon, you know, she's probably who I talk to a lot. I talk to Corey Brooks a lot. So I've got a really great relationship with Corey Brooks. I was at his wedding. Him and I stay in touch a lot. I see him every time I'm in California. I'm friendly with majority of the people from, Big Brother 18, like me and Paul, keep trying to get each other when we're in, you know, when either of us are in New York City, but we keep missing each other. And that's really it. I mean, Nicole and Victor are doing the whole husband and wife thing. They stay pretty secluded. You know,
I saw she was just on your brother's podcast, though. That's nice to see.
Yeah. I mean, they're close. They're super close. You know, I'll touch base with Tiffany every now and then just to say hi. Big Meech every now and then just to say hi. I don't even know why I'm losing her name.
I'm trying to think who else is on Bronte.
Bronte.
I don't know why I felt like you were going to say Bronte.
Yeah. Keep in touch with Bronte every now and then. So yeah, it's good. It's fun.
Okay. Looking back, you know, Paul lost to Nicole 5-4. You voted for Nicole. Was there any sort of doubt in your mind that you were going to vote for Nicole that night, or talk to me about voting for her?
There was no doubt in my mind I was going to vote for Nicole that night. You know, just because mine and her alliance started before mine and Paul's alliance. You know, so that's kind of where that went. You know, obviously I did think that me, Paul, Victor, and Corey had the ability to kind of make it to
Swag. The end.
Yeah, make it to the end and make it to the end and have, you know, Nicole and Zakiya there, you know, and I forget who Paul and Victor were trying to lock in. I mean, I think they wanted Bridget and Michelle, which I was also fine with all of those people, you know, so I thought that we had it within us to like make it to that point, you know, and then kind of start clipping based off of there. But you know, everything happens for a reason, you know. I don't think I made final two deals with all of those people. Like I only had made it with Corey, but I guess I had the kind of relationships with Victor and, Paul, where like when they were comparing notes, they were like, I would take Paulie to final two. And they were like, no, I would take Paulie to final two also. And then they were like, well, who would Paulie take to final two? Oh, Corey. Okay, we gotta do this now.
Got it. You're jogging my memory because it's been a minute since I've seen your season. So I'm like,
yeah, it's been a while. And my memory might be all hazy. I mean, I'm coming off of 2 concussions, so who knows?
Oh my God. I was going to ask you, when you're walking around, obviously if you're with Cara, people must recognize you, of course. But like, do people come up to you ever just for Big Brother? Is it always the challenge now?
It really depends on where I am. Yeah. So if we're in like Big Brother heavy areas, like Florida, like Texas, and I'm pretty like, I mean, we were just in Hershey Park, Pennsylvania. And a lot of people were coming up to me for Big Brother, you know, and parts of Florida, Big Brother, parts of Texas, Big Brother. You know, obviously once I'm in the tri-state, then it's like kind of Challengeville. Yep. They're mixed with Big Brother. So,
Speaking of Cara, I just saw her. I know she's with you. So like the status of you guys are good. Cause I know there was like rumor or reports that you aren't.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. You know, there might be something that gets, spoken about in a week or two. But you know, we're just working through things.
Okay. I respect that.
Yeah.
In terms of, so Tucker just said in my interview that he would want to do the challenge. Anyone coming from Big Brother that's going to go on the challenge, like what sort of advice would you give them?
Don't be a bitch.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like don't come. The one thing I hate the most is people who say, I want to do the challenge, talk all this shit online, which I'm not saying he has or hasn't, yeah. Right? But he has shown interest in the challenge. I can't stand rookies who come in and tiptoe around and try and be quiet as a mouse because either they're intimidated or what have you or what it is. Like, come in, make some noise, put a stamp on who you are, and whatever happens, happens. Right? I like, you know, one of the things is it's like, you know, I took a little bit of a break from the challenge. You know, but the only reason why I think I was able to come back is because I was an unforgettable character in those first 3 seasons that I did. And I will never change anything that I did in those first 3 seasons. You know, where people are like, hey, if you came in this way, maybe you would have won, you know, 1 or 2. And I'm like, maybe, but most likely not, because if I came in any other way than I did, I was going into eliminations anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just what the pecking order was at the time that I came in. But you can't deny that I was a character on those first 3 seasons. And, you know, when I come back on a challenge season, there's just a different aura to the challenge. I mean, I was only there 2 episodes, but
made a big splash.
Made a big splash. You know what I mean? And that's the thing is people are remembered for a lot of things, right? You could either be there long enough to win as much as Johnny and CT, or you could be that good like Jordan, or you could have an arc that goes from not being good to being very good like Cara, or, you know, you're just an animal like Laurel, right? But everybody's remembered for things outside of just their competition. Stats.
That's a good point. That's a really good point, actually. I've never even thought about that. And then obviously, you know, the challenge is it's not even comparable in terms of what's physically harder, but in the terms of socially harder, is the challenge or Big Brother, do you think, harder socially?
Well, the thing is, it's 2 different things night and day, right? Like on Big Brother, you can pull out every stop in the book, you know, to try and win. And as long as the result is winning, you know, you're a genius. Nobody can do anything, you know, about it. In the challenge, you know, it is more like real life because, you know, you have to keep a certain social currency with people. Something that you do one season is going to affect you the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, if you're boring, you won't be asked back for a second season. You know what I mean? So like, if you're one of those people, that's like, oh, I'm just going to tiptoe around and wait till I get thrown into elimination. It's like, so you're going to have no character,
no story.
And you're hoping that if you win, that's your storyline. When you got a 50-50 shot, no matter what you go into, an elimination, to do it. So, you know, my advice from a challenge standpoint is go in, have a different strategy every single season, but don't go with a strategy that is going to shoot you in the foot for future seasons. So make sure that all of your moves are justifiable, and make sure that you have logic, you know, behind everything. You know, every now and then make it a little bit personal and go after people, because it's just like, I don't like you.
Yeah. And well, I appreciate people who aren't fake too, because it is tough. Like,
dude, I don't know. That's, I hate that about the challenge, is it's like you, like somebody has to, there's so many variables, right? Like in Big Brother, you know, if you win an HOH, you can't compete in the following HOH.
Mm-hmm.
You could compete in any veto that you're nominated for, but you could get backdoored. And at the end of the day, you're voted out by a vote. In the challenge, you can win back-to-back dailies. Somebody also still has to throw you into an elimination, and then you have to go home. So I don't like people that go on the challenge and it's like, they clearly feel a certain type of way about somebody, but it's like, so I'm voting you in because, like, you know, you're just such a strong competitor, and I hope you come back. It's like, no, that is your moment to sit there and say, I'm throwing you in because I don't fucking like you for this list of reasons. I hope you go home, and I hope you cry about it and think about me while you're sitting at home. Like, that is your moment to create an enemy, not create an ally. You know what I mean? And I just feel like too many people want to be friends with everybody, or they're afraid of what they're going to be perceived on social media. And, you know, you're on reality TV. Like, just like, if you're worried about what people are going to think about you on social media, you don't belong on reality TV.
Well, that's 100% true. Yeah. Don't go on reality TV at all.
Yeah.
What is the future of the challenge look like for you? Like, are you, if they're calling you every season, are you going every season? Or are you?
I mean, I'm for damn sure going until I win. Okay. I'm for damn sure going until I get my vendetta against Theo. I'm for damn sure going until I get my vendetta against a couple people that I think were, you know, riding against me this season. So, like, for me, I think the challenge is in this time period where I feel as though Johnny, CT, Wes, Cara, Laurel, maybe a few others. So if I didn't name names, don't
come for you. Yeah.
Don't crucify me on the cross. But they carried the show for a good amount of time. They carried the show through what I like, you know, what I like to call Johnny's references before, like, you know, the dark times, right? Like the dark times of, like, who is going to be that next person or group of people that carries the mantle the same way that that specific group of people that I just mentioned carried it from when Mark Long, Derek Kay, Darrell, Brad, Tina, Rachel, you know, Anissa passed the torch to those people. They carried it for a very long time. And when you really think about it, all right, Jordan, a name that, you know, somebody capable of being that, but where is the group of people? There sure as hell isn't many to pick from era four. You know, there's also not that many to pick from era three.
Yeah. There's not that many, I feel like,
you know, so like on my side of things, like I feel as though I, you know, after speaking to a lot of the OGs and hearing what the show actually means to them, I'm not interested in people coming on this show for clout, for social media, for being friends with everybody, for, you know, what they care about online and everything. So, you know, I'm almost here at this point to keep the, you know, keep the sanctity of the challenge in order, keep the structure of the challenge in order, and make sure that the torch gets passed the correct way. And I don't want people there who are just happy to be there, you know. I'm going to make you work for it. You know what I mean? I'm going to put you to the fire. You know, and obviously I have my own goals that I want in terms of winning, you know, righting some of the wrongs. I think coming back, and I was at peace on USA 2, and all of that peace went out the window. on season 40. And now I've transitioned into the point where I want peace in my real life. But I want absolute blood and chaos in the house. And I'm happy to be the person that provides the blood and chaos in the house. And yeah, the future of the challenge to me looks like doing what that era two people did, where like it was the first time that people actually took the game seriously. It's when certain showrunners came in and took the show to another level of absolute craziness. You know, I think it's time to keep the show absolutely crazy. And I think it's time to bring in people who actually take the show seriously and want to go at each other's necks and aren't going to sit there after a decision gets made to throw somebody into an elimination. It's like, oh, I completely understand why you're throwing me into an elimination. It's like, no, fuck you, dude. You're putting my chance at this money on the line. Like, no, yeah. I'm going to come back and I'm going to come for your neck. That's what the future of the show is to me. You know, I think that through competition brings out people's personalities. Mm. And I think some of the major personalities that we've had over the years are only personalities because they wanted to kill each other over camcorders and sidekicks and, you know, motorcycles. You know, now there's a lot of money on the line and all of a sudden people are like nicer about the money being on the line. It's like, guys, this is life-changing money. Stab somebody in the throat. What are we doing here?
I remember when all the challenges were so silly. It was like, put on a fashion show, like way back in the day. It's so different, but in a good way. I like that it's evolved. But
yeah.
Okay. So the challenge, obviously, you're now a staple on that show. If Big Brother ever calls you, are you picking up that call or no?
I would love to get another shot at playing Big Brother. Just because I would go in with a completely different mindset and mentality. I would just go there to have fun and see where that takes me. The only thing, and I've really thought about this, I've meditated on it. I've, you know, done visualizations on it. And I'm really trying to get past that point of like, once you go in that door and that freaking back door closes, how do you get through that, you know, moment? And, you know, maybe I'm at a different place where, you know, practicing enough breathing techniques to get over being locked in the house would work. It would have to be a game time decision. And I have to think about it. Now, I would do reindeer games.
You would? I was going to ask.
Yeah, I would do reindeer games. I would love reindeer games. You know, nice little two week tango there. You know, we love a good 2 week tango.
You would kill it on reindeer games. Right?
I would love reindeer games. I like those little quirky games that are like, you know, stress induced, but staying composed under pressure. You know, and also not, you know, much time for like strategy, just kind of like, hey, who's going in? That's this good. Person, this person. Awesome. Let's do it. I mean, that'd be cool.
What about the traitors? Cause obviously Bananas and Wes, they're doing it. Cody didn't have the best experience. How do you think you would do on that show?
So I had to turn down Traitors 3 because of, you know, contractual things. you know, Traitors 4 is on the table, you know, and Traitors at a certain point is on the table 100%. But I will stick to, you know, what I've always said and what I've been saying is I have a lot of unfinished business on the challenge. I have a chip on my shoulder when it comes to the challenge. You know, I would like to get a win or two under my belt before, you know,
branching out
into that time frame. You know, but if the timing lines up and, you know, the contracts don't conflict and Traitors is on the table, I'll happily do it. You know, same with House of Villains.
We love a good villain, Paulie. We love a good villain.
We love a good villain. Am I still the villain when you fill out your Big Brother thing and the face pops up of like, what type of Big Brother player are you?
Oh, I don't even know, but like, there's gotta be worse people. People do really nasty, like really nasty things in there. Who knows?
I don't know. But I was shocked that my name was the villain face for so long, but you know, now I was like,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. I think I'm like the kind of villain where people love to root against and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You know, that's the perfect villain.
Yeah, I'm all right with a love to hate relationship. You know?
Well, Paulie, thank you so much. You were really gracious with your time today. And, you know, I love you know, chatting with it about the challenge too. I don't often get to do that. And I've been watching that show since its inception. So yeah, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate you, and I'm glad we finally got to link up, not officially face-to-face, but virtually face-to-face.
Yeah, of course.